broadcasting WJFK-FM, Manassas, Washington, D.C.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hello!
Hello!
No matter what you think,
where else would you rather be than right here, right now? Where else would you rather be than right here, right now? Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Are you doing, like, the Jack format thing?
It appears to be stuck on Marv Levy.
Let me go take a peek.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
It loves that Marv Levy tape.
I do, too. Everyone
no matter
does.
What button. And hold on, let's see.
I'm hearing you!
It's working.
Excellent.
Right.
Are you hearing?
It's bank select three, and there you go. Figured it out. Oh, and how about the guy who is celebrating Cinco de Mayo today, right here?
Yeah.
Who doesn't love Mexico?
How? Your silver bullet band.
How's your dystrophy?
It's
one,
better.
One day later.
Yeah. Good afternoon.
How's your daughter's lip gloss?
How's your lost telephone? Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Hey, no fibs today.
Why do you keep saying that? No fibs today.
Because John Norman accused me of fibbing about something.
And I said, you're a fibber.
I said, there'll be no fibs today.
You're a fibber.
What did he say that you fibbed about?
I don't even remember.
That's a fib right there.
Right.
I don't remember.
He fibs all the time when I ask him things about stuff and he fakes it.
That's a bluff. That's
different. That's a bluff?
Today, heretofore, from now on, no more fibs.
No fibbing.
No, from anybody. And no half-truths.
All right. You act a bluff.
That's right. These guys are guilty of being hot. Dr. Onimo and Mike O'Meara.
Right. I can't do the show under this new no-fib edict.
All right, we'll relax it.
Doesn't apply to you.
Listen, hello. Sure it does, bud.
Hello.
Oh, hi, darling. Hi, John Kerry. Are you there?
Oh, hi there.
And you know, to hear a little. The tunage today, Robert Seger. Last grasp for Bobby F.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Also, last grasp for Eddie Murphy.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Back when he made a funny movie.
Right. Beverly Hills Cop. And since then, for both of them, it's...
I'm sorry. I'm going to do better. I've been practicing. I'm going to do better.
I know. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Here, Don and Mike show new episode. Cinco de Mayo. I love this. Mike, it's Thursday.
Thursday. 05 05 05.
Scared kids?
Scary. It's going to be really scary. I'm not kidding you this time.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded.
Hi there, Buzz. Yes. It's Don and Mike show, and you can call us from anywhere in America at 877-365-3636. Yeah. From Canada, from Mexico, 800-636-1067 in Washington, D.C. on WJFK.
I'm sorry.
I know. 202-432-1067. Play that one all the way to the label. There.
Oh, there you go.
That was the last good blast for Mr. Bob S.
That was
for BS.
BS.
We're out of BS.
Here's BS.
They tried to fix him up. I mean, they yeah. tried to...
BS and the SBB.
They tried to, you know, they tried to Aerosmith him up a little bit. They tried to give him some of those synthesizers, because that's when Van Halen started with the synthesizers, he was still stuck on that goddamn locker rock.
Bob Seger is, or as they call him today, Bob Ice.
I think Bob Ice, he still gets a few bucks from Chevy for doing that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Michael Rock's been around for a long time.
There's a new generation of people that hate Bob Seger who know nothing about the music of Bob Seger except that one stupid commercial.
On his greatest hits that came out, I guess, a year ago, you know it's bad when it's his band each holding their kids.
Yeah.
Oh, they've sort of given up on being rock and
roll. Sure. There goes this show's Christmas card.
Yeah, they're not like the Stones.
No.
Stones haven't given up on being rockers.
Not at all.
That's sad. They only come out on tour when they need money.
Yeah.
And when's their next tour? Like in the
They'll
fall?
They'll announce it on Tuesday.
They'll announce it Tuesday.
But isn't that like rockers, too? I mean, they're going to basically just sit around and do nothing until they need the money.
And also, which one just came out of rehab again?
Woody.
Ron Wood.
Oh, I get him and Pat O'Brien mixed up all the time.
Well, they look exactly the same.
You know, I told Beth Ann last night, don't tape the Pat O'Brien thing. I said, tape the Primetime Live thing. That was a bad choice on my part. We've got some tape from the Primetime Live with the boy toy. But Dr. Phil yelling at Pat O'Brien was great.
Really? See, I blew off the Dr. Phil. I thought it would be lame and lamer.
Here's the thing. Pat O'Brien was very, very defensive and still in the slicky boy thing. And it seems like 5 minutes ago that we heard, everybody heard it on the internet, the phone call with, I need some coke and let's get some hookers.
I want to do this to you. I want to do that to you.
So Dr. Phil's yelling at him about it, and all Pat O'Brien says is, well, I don't remember it.
Wow. That's very handy.
And Dr. Phil says, but you were in the same room as this woman. She was 50 feet away from you.
Now, I'm trying to get some ratings here, and I want you to show some contrition. Please, Pat O'Brien.
And then they told us how brave Pat O'Brien was, you know, and what a beloved Hollywood legend and fixture he is on that show that I don't think anybody's watched.
I always thought in his bio they put noted asshat.
And the funniest part was when they built up to this the last 10 minutes of the show. Join us now as Pat O'Brien faces his staff.
Oh, my God.
Oh, so,
they come in and...
Who are all probably still afraid for their jobs.
All of those people look like, if you wanted to know what our ratings party looked like the other night, it was these people.
Same thing.
A happy bunch, then.
So he gets in front of them and you know, it's so disgenuine, it's so just full of crap because...
Did he talk like that? Like he did on the tape? Did he talk to his staff like that?
No, he didn't. But because he's doing it with TV cameras there, it comes off as disingenuous and just PR. So he says, he sits down and he's got his perfect suit on, you know, and he's slicked back hair. And he's like, hi, how you guys doing? And they're all just looking at him. And he says, I know there's a lot of careers in here, a lot of families, a lot of dogs, a lot of cats, a lot of kids that depend on me being here.
Wow.
And I want you to know, I'm going to be here. Let's go out and do a great show.
That's it?
Yeah, that was it.
So no, like, I'm sorry for being a hump?
Your dog will eat.
No, none of that.
I did record it, so if you need tape out of it in the future, I've got it for you.
It would be pretty good. It would be pretty good. And the other thing Dr. Phil yelled at him about was coke.
Right.
Because they said... Over and over, what happened in the hotel room that night to this guy, Pat O'Brien?
Right.
He said, I've been drinking. I had like 6 bottles of champagne. I opened my 7th bottle of champagne. Well, what about the coke? He said, well, there was just a little bit of coke. And Dr. Phil would not let that go. Said,
right.
You know, that's like being a little bit pregnant.
There he is, the big expert. But, you know, it's just a question of his skeletons coming to the surface
right.
at some point.
Dr. Phil's? Yes, trust me. Dr. Phil is one
now,
of these
I'd
guys.
Now, what I'd like to do, all right, don't just look at it.
Right.
It happened. Eat it.
Yeah.
It happened to Dr. Laura.
Yeah, absolutely.
It happened, all it takes is a
tape or a picture.
It happened to O'Reilly. It'll happen to all these guys that want to yell at us. It's one thing if you want to do a TV show or a radio show and you want to yell at people and be funny about it, that's okay. But when you're like serious about it, when you're holding yourself up to a level that you could never achieve, but somehow because you're on TV,
that's when America wants to see you brought down.
Correct.
It's just the way it goes. Dr. Phil, a few years back, had somebody say something about it.
Yes, and then that got quiet and disappeared.
Yeah, somebody got paid off.
But it could resurface, as it sometimes and often does.
It absolutely could. And after watching that Primetime Live thing last night, I don't care if Paula Abdul slept with the guy. First off, she can get a better boy toy than him.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't see the piece last night. Did he have credibility? Was he credible?
No, here's the thing. Here's his credibility. It's his word against her word, and his moronic, pockmarked friends who look like they could be in a Clearasil commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, not helped by the fact that he's one of these, like, yo-yo. And I'll play the tapes for you.
Right.
Like, she just comes up to me and she starts, like, you know, kissing on my arm.
It was
dope. And, you know, she's dope and she's fly. And,
uh-huh.
You know, okay, we had the relationship.
Oh, so he's a hump.
Yeah.
He's a punk.
Oh, yeah.
With a matching blue cap.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of the stuff, in my opinion, I'm no Paula Abdul fan. It was circumstantial. I mean, like, the guy from ABC, the Hispanic guy, George Lopez, I think was his name, the guy who was doing the report.
Yeah, that's
are you wearing a blue cap? All right, you're in trouble, Buster.
They loved, this is how they would try to nail her. But they weren't nailing her. They said, this is the Sprint store. An employee says he was there when Paula and Corey came in to buy the new phones. And then they leave.
ABC comes off looking light on this? That's a shock.
If you got a guy that said that, put his face on TV.
Right.
Let's see a face to somebody. Otherwise, it came off as National Enquirer.
Gee, another disappointing Primetime Live.
And,
how amazing is that?
I don't care if she's banging him or not. I really don't. We'll hear the tapes. I don't think it matters at all.
So you think, based on what you saw last night, I mean, this thing's not going to go any further?
I can't see that anybody would care.
Right. I think you're right.
I mean, the guy didn't make a compelling case, but boy, he does have the white trashiest family.
Does he really?
And the white trashiest friends. I mean, he makes Scott Sable's family look like the Kennedys. Really, like Camelot.
How great was it when the mother, they handed her the lyrics? There's a song on this guy's album about Paula. It's like
It's called Politics.
That's what it is. But
P-A-U-L-A-T-I, Politics.
That is clever.
And that's something I thought he got in his shorts after he had sex with her. Get out of here. The Politics.
So the guy comes across as a total scumbag. Is that the way it
goes? Well, Mike, I've got the tapes. You didn't see the show.
Okay.
You'll be able to decide for yourself about that.
They hand the lyrics of Politics to the mother, and the guy from ABC says, how does that make you feel? And she says, I am shocked.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
She had never seen the lyrics until we showed them to her.
Oh, so so nothing.
No.
So all this hype about nothing.
No, I feel intellectually raped.